As I mentioned, I see this as a transition Sunday, finishing out the year, but also looking ahead into the next year. And just a couple of reflections on this past year, I thought about different highlights, different headlines. Internationally, well, there's not much new. People are at war with each other. It's just tiring, and I'm sure it's tiring for them. In Eastern Europe, in the Middle East, in parts of Africa. Nationally, the headlines, of course, was the elections, new president, new Congress, et cetera, et cetera. And there were some floods, Hurricane Helene, particularly, creating devastation. In the entertainment industry, Taylor Swift, of course, is still prominent in the charts, with Beyoncé as well. And I understand a new Superman movie is being produced or is about to be produced. I'm looking forward to that one. So, for a church, it was mentioned in the prayers, the transition, how we look forward to our next pastor. I wonder what that's going to be like. And then personally in our lives, Barb and I had the privilege to move to the Denver area, to Highlands Ranch, and also yesterday we celebrated our 51st anniversary together. So, yeah, thank you. Again, looking ahead to 2025, will the trend continue where autocrats and dictators are dominant and democracy is going downhill? Wondering as a nation, what's it going to be like to have a new president in Congress? Who's going to win the Super Bowl? Bets already being placed on that. And again, what will our new pastor be like? And then for us personally, are we going to be healthy next year? Will I make it to the end of the year? Psalm 121 will be our focus today, and I'd like to read that whole psalm through, and then we're going to look at it very carefully. Psalm 121, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. A beautiful psalm. Let's focus now on a few verses there, verses 3, 6, and 7. The reason I do that is because the context to the psalm is that the psalmist is very aware of dangers all around. That's the first blank there in the outline. Dangers. What kind of dangers? Verse 3, your foot will slip. We experienced our first ice here about a month or so ago. And when it rain came down and then it froze on the ground, it happens many times for me. I felt like I can walk on ice because, after all, I grew up in Minnesota. I can walk on ice. And just when I'm at the height of my confidence, all of a sudden, I hear a thud, and it's me lying on my back looking up into the sky. My foot had slipped. This represents anything that can happen to you personally. An accident like that can break your leg, break your hip. You can get a bad cold, a bad flu, or some other kind of sickness. All kinds of things where it would put you on your back and you're just memorizing the ceiling. Dangers. Verse 6, the sun harming you by day. This represents all the weather patterns. Of course, the beating of the sun on you, getting growing up on the farm, not wanting to wear a cap or anything like that. I had the sun beating on me. I turned as brown as could be, and now I'm paying for it. I have to have cancer removed regularly. The harm of the sun. The harm of all the weather patterns. Certain times when you've driven and you wonder if you're going to travel over the next couple of months, what's the weather going to be like? And those in the east experiencing Hurricane Helene, a unique hurricane in that the system just settled over the east and just hovered over it for a while. Devastating for people. Earthquakes, all the natural phenomena. That's what's represented by the sun harming. Then also in verse 6, about mentioning the harm of the moon by night. And you wonder, well, how can the moon harm you? Because if there's a full moon, I like to go outside and look at the full moon, especially if it's rising or setting. It's just beautiful. But throughout the history of the world, most people did not look at the moon that way, as just something beautiful to admire. They thought it would affect your mind, to give you a mental disease. In fact, that's still carried over in the English language today. Somebody has lunacy, or they're a lunatic. Lunar means moon. You've been touched by the moon. That's where you get your mental diseases. That's the harm of the moon. And this kind of represents not just all other harmful influences on you mentally, but spiritually as well, Satan, demons, and so on. If we could make a list and just add to this, oh by the way, that's verse 7. All harm. You found out that I'm a lists person. I like to make lists. In fact, here's my list of what to do for today. Okay. If you write a list of things you could be afraid of and perhaps should be afraid of, what would be included in that list? And if you started writing things down, that list could get pretty long of things to be scared of. Because when I first started driving the car, for instance, I'm going down the road 60 miles an hour. They're going 60. Do the math. If you hit each other head on, 120-mile-hour collision. Don't let that something to be scared about. All kinds of things on that list. Okay. That's context. The dangers that are there and could be. Verses 1 and 2 will be our primary focus this morning of Psalm 121. So we'll go to that now. Here's where the psalmist asks this question. I lifted my eyes to the mountains. Oh, by the way, the second part of verse 1, I'm going to read it without verbs because that's the way it is in the Hebrew. No verbs. Where from my help? Very aware of all the dangers, looking up and about, who's going to help me? From where my help? Okay. Let me push the pause button a minute. How would you answer that question? There's lots of possible answers. On the back side of your outline, what I did was come up with a whole bunch of areas that people say, here's my help. Four broad categories. Okay. Where can we find our help? One of them is in the area of experts and technology. For instance, if we have a COVID 19 epidemic, where are we going to find help? The experts, the scientists, the medical authorities, and they will have the technology to fix it. So where do we find our help? We can go to those with master's degrees, doctoral degrees, engineering degrees, look to Silicon Valley, look to AI, all of that. That's going to help us. That's where our help comes from. Another way to answer that question, where does our help come from? Another broad category, government and insurance. For 3 years now, I've been on Social Security. I still check my bank to make sure on this day the government's still giving me money to live on. Okay? What's the answer to our problems? Many look to the government and will vote based on the promises of the politicians. I've talked with people that said, I'm depending on the government to help us out. And in that category is insurance. Medical insurance, car insurance, liability insurance, property insurance, and making sure we got insurance for the cover this, just in case something happens here, we got insurance. And some have these umbrella policies to cover most everything. Where does my help come from? Some people will say government or insurance. Third broad category, family and friends. Historically, that's in most cultures of the world, that's where you really get your help. Family, you're going through a hard time, you depend on family to help you. You're having a tough time with your kids, you just need a break from your kids, call family. It's one of the reasons we moved to Indiana. Not just to be near our grandkids there, but what's going to happen when Barb and I get old and frail? We can't take care of each other. We can't take care of ourselves. Well, we need kids to take care of us. Maybe a church family could help us out. Or friends. As a proverb says, there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. If I have friends, that's where I'll get my help. Okay, family and friends, the third category. Fourth category, ourselves. I don't have to worry about problems. I can figure out how to deal with it. I'll take care of it. And especially for firstborns, we tend to say that. I don't worry about it. I'll be asked, well, do you know how to take care of it? No, but I'll figure it out. I depend on myself. Where does my help come from? Ta-da, me. Okay. With the psalmist, where does our help come from? For 2025, what are you going to depend on to carry you through the year well? Okay, let's go back to the text again. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Oh, I just love that here. These are real mountains here. I don't know if you've ever been to Israel. They have mountains of sorts, but people here might call them big hills. But these are mountains, okay? And here's the psalmist looking at the mountains, and he sees more than all the rock formations, more than just the tree lines, more than just the snow. My help comes from the Lord. He sees God, and here's the blank, God enthroned among the mountains. There's his power, a source of power and strength. That's where his help comes from.
not just God.
My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Radical statement. Because all his neighbors around the area and all the neighbors of the other nations, they could agree with him up to 2A. Yeah, your help comes from your own God, the God of the mountains. Our help comes from our God, the God of the sun. Or our help comes from our God, the God of fertility. Or from our God of the valleys, or the God of the rivers, or the God of the earth. Your God helps you, our God helps us. Psalmist here says, only one place to get help. The Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, the eternal God, the creator. Nobody else. That's our hope. That's our help. It's still a bold statement today. Who's going to be the source of your healing? Whether it be an epidemic going throughout the nation and the world, or you just get something yourself. It's not just scientists creating vaccines or doctors or hospitals. It is God who uses them. And we say that God heals us. And we're not just doing wishful thinking. We recognize God is using the hospitals and doctors. What makes us feel safe going out in the parking lot and driving home? What makes you feel safe this week when everybody's going on their holiday binges and just drinking a little too much and driving? We're going to have police out there. We say, God is our protection. He'll use the police. He'll use the regulations. He'll use governments, he'll use armed forces, but it's God who's doing it. Our financial security doesn't just come from the government, from our own investments, our own skills. No, God is the one who uses those. And we could go on and go on and go on. The psalmist, recognizing the dangers, recognizing all the ways those dangers are taken care of, gives this rock solid conclusion. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So do we. Now we're going to see how this plays out later in the psalm. If we could go to the next slide, please. Verse 7. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. He'll watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Is that true? A number of years ago, I read this psalm. Some call it a traveler's psalm because we're going to go on a trip. And my granddaughter said, Grandpa, it says, the Lord will keep you from all harm. But we still break a leg. We still get sick. I don't understand. What would you tell her? Well, if you go back to verse 5, this will help us to understand it. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. You ever play this game as a kid? Try to step on each other's shadow? You ever do that? That's kind of fun, okay? You're going to try and run, prevent you from going my shadow, and I'll step on your shadow. Just a little silly game. Then I got to thinking, can I step on my own shadow? Yeah, somewhat. But let's try this. Try to outrun your shadow. You can't. Your shadow's there all the time. That's the Lord. He's as close as your shadow. He's there all the time. He'll never leave you. In fact, you can't even run away from him. That's how close God is to you. Now get your list. Your list of what you're scared about. You could add to this list. Did you know that right now, you have hundreds, if not thousands, of bacteria and fungi and viruses attacking your body right now, all the time, day and night? Did you know that Satan and his demons hate you and are figuring out ways to harm you? And you can believe there are hackers trying to get into your bank account right now. Keep adding to your list of all the possible dangers there could be. They're not happening. Why? Do you see the Lord as close as your shadow? He's there all the time. And he's the one holding them at bay. But once in a while, he lets something through. Look what he did with Job. When Satan had to get permission, can I get Job? God says, okay, I'll let you. God could have allowed a lot more to happen, but just allowed little things to happen. He does so for a very, very good reason. But his main way of operating is continual protection all the time. Just once in a while, for a good reason, lets something through. He, by the way, here's a blank. He limits them. Okay, back to verses 1 and 2. Oh, by the way, I'm not sure if any of you have a Bible open to Psalm 121 or if you have it open in an app on your phone. Scan through the psalm real quick. How many times does it use the word God? Zero. Doesn't mention the word God. But look at the number of times it uses the Lord. I counted 5 times. And if you have certain translations, we'll capitalize all the letters. Why? Because out of respect to the Jews and Hebrews, we translate it Lord, but it's actually the personal name of God. Jehovah, Yahweh, the I Am. He says, my help comes not just from some super giant creator that some think that I've just made up in my own mind. No, from the Lord. He has personally given me his personal name. This is the great I Am that wants to come to know you and makes promises to you. And he says, I'll never give up on you. That's the one who is as close as my shadow. That's where my help is coming from. Let me just briefly say what we have the updated name of God. or of the Lord. We know him even more personally than the psalmist did. And his updated name is Yahweh Saves. Do you know what that means? Yahweh Saves? Jesus. I look at Colossians 1, verses 15 and following. You got that there? Yeah, good. The Son, that is Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers, authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. You see, our help comes from the Lord, here's the blank, the Lord Jesus. He's the one that says, I'm with you always to the end of the age. I'll take care of you. I'm as close as your shadow, and everything's going to work out for your good. Over the years, I've had the privilege to teach high school classes, the basics of the Bible truths and Christian faith and so on. And at some point we would talk about the providence of God. That's a term that I would have them memorize and say, you need to learn the word providence, which means God's care for us and the whole creation. Okay. The way to get to that is I would give them a small piece of paper, and I would ask them all to write down, what is your greatest fear? What is the thing that you are most afraid of? Consistently over the years, here was the most common answer. The most common fear? Somebody in their family dying. That's what they were most afraid of. Other things were a friend abandoning them or getting to an accident and becoming disfigured or disabled. So back to this fear list again. What's your fears going into 2025? What are things are you unsettled about or looking farther into the future? What kinds of things could go wrong? Internationally, is China going to dominate? Nationally, how is this new Congress or president going to handle our country? Is it going to really be helpful or not? Or me personally, could I get cancer? Or worse yet, could I lose my ability to think? I and you need to get into the habit of saying, Lord Jesus, we trust you. Lord Jesus, I trust you. Lord Jesus, I trust you. Every once in a great while, I like to recite something from our confession. And it's the first question and answer of the Heidelberg Catechism. And we have that here. Okay, it's going to be three slides here, and I'm going to ask you to answer the question with me, okay? I'll ask the question, then you join me in the answer. What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood, and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to him, Christ, by his Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. If If we could go back to this slide again of the text, Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. I'd like to finish with this story. Many years ago, when our kids were little, and Teresa, we have a son and two daughters, and our middle child, Teresa, was really sick. I think she was about 3 years old. And I was up with her in the middle of the night and got her all settled down, and she was pretty sick. And we lived out in the country, and to go to the emergency room, it was a long ways away. It was just the borderline. Do we go or not? Don't think it's worth it. Okay. Finally got her settled down and put her back in bed. Tucked her in, and her eyes were sunk and her nose was all red. And in the middle of night, your mind goes to places that it wouldn't in the daytime. I started thinking, I wonder if Teresa's going to make it through the night. And if she doesn't, who's going to do the funeral? Just dark places right then. Well, I'd gotten her all tucked in, and I left to go back out of the room, and Teresa says, "Climb, climb." I turned back and said, "What?" She said, "Climb, climb." You see, it was our practice when we put our kids to bed. Part of the routine was we'd sing a song with them. And she wanted to sing the song, "Climb, Climb." And we used this, our own wording of it. And so we started singing, "Climb, Climb." By the way, Teresa was a thumb sucker. So here she is with her left. And you can sing a song and suck your thumb at the same time. And so that's what she was doing. And with her right hand, she was going through the motions. "Climb, climb up Sunshine Mountain, heavenly breezes blow. Climb, climb up Sunshine Mountain, faces all aglow. Turn, turn from sin and doubting, look to God on high. Climb, climb up Sunshine Mountain, you and I." That phrase, "look to God on high," God used to impact me, saying, "Don't worry, I'll take care of her." So I just entrusted her to Jesus, said goodnight again, went to bed, and promptly went right off to sleep. A reminder for all of us, as we head into 2025, all the possible things we could be afraid of, we just trust the Lord Jesus to take care of us. Let us pray. How we thank you, O God, for this beautiful psalm and the reminder that you are close to us, never leaving us, never forsaking us. Thank you for your care in the past. We look forward to your care in the future. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.